Yeah. Let me pray one more time for our time this morning. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to gather as your people. We tell you we want you to be here. We believe your promise that you are, in fact, here as we gather in your name. Give us eyes to see and experience your very presence, your touch. God, we trust you, and we want to trust you more. We want to grow in our understanding of who we are and whose we are and your actions and activity in the world. We thank you that you are good, you are powerful, and you are active. And God, may we experience all three of those things. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we started a couple weeks ago to just do a quick overview of the book of Acts. And honestly, since that time, I feel like I've been kind of in a whirlwind. And I don't remember where I actually stopped. In that kind of high-level overview. We weren't going to go verse by verse or anything, but we want to just kind of recenter again on what did Jesus build when he could have built anything with the people, the men and women that he trained and spent time with. How did they apply his teaching, and how did it unroll in the first century as the gospel expanded, as the church was established? And so we're going to do something a little bit different today. And when we think about Acts, the book of Acts, we're going to be in the book of Acts, but in a little different way. It is a story of God establishing his kingdom people and his presence in the earth following the resurrection of Jesus, following the establishment of this new kingdom, his presence through the power of the Spirit and leading and teaching and healing, the preaching that was being done of Jesus and him crucified, this communal identity, this oneness identity as an image of God being established. And so today we're going to look at a different chapter in the book of Acts. We're going to look at the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. So if you want to turn there, that would be great. And what you'll find is it's not there. Because the book of Acts is still being written. Now, I don't know if it's actually, we're in 29 or 187 or whatever chapter it is. But there's this part of church history that we are walking in that it's being recorded. And there's going to become a day when it's retold. And when I think about the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the early church, We're the continuation of that. And every so often, we get to see that story of God become so clear, if we're paying attention, that it's worth retelling. It's worth remembering. It's worth writing down. It's worth recording, because those are the kind of things that give us hope when we receive something in that place of light and then God takes us through a valley of death or a valley of doubt or a valley of unbelief or whatever it might be, when we're in those dark places and the kingdom isn't quite as real, it isn't quite as bright in our lives, and we have to cling to those stories. Well, what feels true right now is, God, you're not here. What it feels true is, God, you're not active, that is, you're not good, that you're not going to help me, that you are silent and impotent. That's what feels true. And yet, because I know this story, because I experience this moment, I will cling to your promises. I will cling to what is true. And if we're paying attention, we all have those moments. I don't, as you think of the story of the people of God in the Old Testament, something significant would happen, and it's just they built an altar. They piled up stones. I don't know what those altars look like. It seemed like these memory places. And I don't know what happened to them. Maybe there's some still kind of obscure places where some little pile that Isaac built or Abraham built, the little foundation is still present somewhere. But the physical part isn't nearly as important as that I'm going to do something to cement this in my memory. So as I move forward from this place and this time, I have something to cling to. And oftentimes, I think we miss that story of God. I think he's doing way more than we even see or understand, because we don't have our eyes open. Or he gives us a chance to step into the story and we say no. And it's not even maybe rebellion, just apathy. Maybe it's just, it didn't seem that important. And we miss the on-ramp to this incredible story. One of my favorite things to remember about how our eyes can be open to something below the surface, something that's going on around us, that it's just not obvious. But if we know what to look for, if we know what to listen for, we start seeing things and hearing things and go, oh, I saw that. And one of my favorite stories is of the Dutch resistance. And as the Nazis came in, they dominated most of Europe. It was under their rule, and resistance popped up. And there were lots of people living in all kinds of countries, the Scandinavian countries, the ones you read a lot about. I remember reading stories as a boy up in some of the Scandinavian kind of, I don't know if you guys ever read those, where they were smuggling things on their sleds, and I don't remember what those were called, but I remember being shaped by those. The subtle, subversive, different story going on. And if you didn't know, it was just like, well, there's some boys on a sled. Oh, no. They're involved with a really noble, amazing, glorious story of resistance. And the Dutch resistance, there was all kinds of people just going through their lives. And they would interface when somebody may invite them. Or would you very safely, very carefully, because it was really, really dangerous to be a part of the French resistance or the Dutch resistance. And then they would say, yes, I'm in. And then this whole world opened up to them. And now the way someone folded their newspaper at the bus stop had meaning. Or the way they touched their ear or their face. Or the way they turned up their collar in a certain place in a certain way. Oh, okay, now I'm dialed in. I'm paying attention, and we can be like that as the people of God. God is writing this amazing story all around us. And we just think it's life. People on sleds and people folding newspapers. And God is moving. And if we'll pay attention and if we'll remember, it could shape our experience. And I just wanted, I don't know the end of it. I don't know what the fruit is. I don't know where it's going. But I know without any doubt, God has a story being written. There's some point you just go, coincidence. Oh, that's just a coincidence. You got to go, no, it just can't be. It's got to stop being a coincidence at some point. This is just too weird. This would just be too odd. And so I want to tell that story, not because anything glorious has even happened yet, but so that we'll remember. And when the story is told, and we may not hear it till the end of the age, we may not know. But the story is going to be told. And I don't want any of us to miss it. I don't want any of us to miss it. So in the spring of 2015, several of us that were involved with and cared about music in our context of our how we were going to live out our gathering and try to minister to this little flock through music, we said, well, you know, it'd be good. There's a piece missing here of this kind of contemplative and just real kind of stuff. There's lots of, and I'm not slamming or saying anything's not valuable, but there's lots of people doing Hillsong style kind of praise music. It's just that's common. So, well, could we just all go on a kind of a hunt and see what we can find? Just see who's writing it. In fact, most of the deeper music that was being released and sung was reworking hymns in a more modern way. There's very little original music, and not even necessarily to be sung, but at least that would minister to and has the chance of reflection. So we agreed, we're gonna go hunting. And at that moment, the story could have ended. And for some, it did, because some in that room never bothered to go look for music. But Edgar went looking for music. And Edgar and Dan both were very diligent to do research and try to sort out what was going on. And out of the 30 or so albums that they listened to, they found, and by the way, it's been several weeks of being kind of weepy, and I'm not sure exactly why. Some of these things are hard for me, but they are. That's very present. This is why I never get rid of emails, other than, you know, the spam and stuff. I was able to weave together this entire story from my email, my old emails. And I get an email from Edgar, and it's the summary of his and Dan's work. And the first thing on there, "Hedgerow folk, I love it all. Here's some songs I think we could do in the spring of 2015. Cool. I jump on, and he had all the links, and I listen to him. Oh, this is really good. This is really good. This is fun. And again, all of their music won't translate to a community sing-along kind of thing, but it was all ministering. And so we began to use some of theirs, and then in the November of a year and a half later, they were working on their second album, and they sent out a little Kickstarter, and Edgar, I never got that solicitation, so I'm not sure why. So anyway, Edgar supported that, and then in November, their second album called Compass was released, and I immediately purchased it and started reading that, or listening to it, and reflecting on it. And my wife's more of a Hillsong girl, kind of she likes the big production, kind of those kind of things. And as we were building our house, one of my goals in that time was to become less pushy. My nature is, okay, that needs to be done. If everybody could just stay out of the way while I do it, that would be awesome. And to put my head down and grind. And I just had a sense that God didn't want to do that. And he made it very obvious that he was not, we've shared this story before, that his primary concern was not how fast or how cheap we got that house done. But we wanted to press some things in. And so Cindy and I covenanted together to have good music on, to take breaks and to rest. And when someone came over, to stop and be present, and which is just completely outside my comfort zone. Let's just get it done. There's plenty of time for sitting around later. And this was one of the albums. And when we first started doing that, and I'd play it a few times, and she'd want to go back to some of her music. And then pretty soon, she started going, yeah, play that one group. Play that one group. That's a weird name. And they were one of a three or four more reflective, contemplative kind of things, Sandra McCracken and a couple others that were present. We listened to a lot of stuff over the course of a year and a half of building the house, but it was just present in the house all the time. I wanted it to shape my heart. I didn't want to go to my happy spot, which is to be a jerk getting things done. I wanted to stay somehow in this presence that this is my identity, this is who I am, not how fast or how well this gets done. And so we began listening to it, and that's important later. And so their music, along with some others, was very instrumental in me shepherding my heart through that. And a couple days before we moved into that house, I did get their solicitation, or I don't even remember exactly. All I have is me responding to it on the email chain. I don't have the one that came into my inbox. Now, by the way, this story wouldn't have gotten written if someone hadn't said, I'm going to be faithful to go do research. I'm going to go be faithful to go do something. So some of the on-ramps to the story of God are really mundane. They're really insignificant. If those guys hadn't gone out and hunting, I wouldn't have. I depend on you guys to send me music. I don't go hunting. But that was the on-ramp. That was the on-ramp. And then I get this email that they're going to, Hedgerow Folk, again, it is kind of weird now to call them like this official name. I've seen them in their pajamas now. It's just like. But I got this solicitation. Hey, we'd like to take it on the road a little bit. And I didn't know where they were from. I didn't bother to do the research to know that they were from Alabama. And I go, well, just a little short cryptic email. I don't know if it's worth even considering. And I wrote it to all three of them. Somehow they were included on that email. They shared the email that responded to. Amanda responded back. Well, Garrett, what would you think about coming? I don't know where you are, but we're in Colorado and kind of like your music, and we would just love to. And I started creating, you know, just this appeal to join me and this kind of idea to do what we're going to do tonight and to believe God for that. Now, I don't know how many emails you get. I know some of you at work get probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that you never have to open to. I don't get that many, but I get about 100 a day. And it would have been really, 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 really easy to just go, oh, that's a dumb idea. This is silly to think that we could pull this off. Or to ignore the Spirit, because I think it was the Spirit. Just ask. Okay, great. And we went back and forth. But again, there's just another little on-ramp to this story. One more little on-ramp that I could have done something different. So important to have that attitude. When you think God's asking you to do something, to do it. And we went back and forth for a few weeks, and we were in the middle of moving, and we were with about 3 weeks without internet, and it was a nightmare, and we were pulling our hair out trying to communicate with things. I finally got back to Amanda, and she said, hey, we've got a supporter in Loveland called Edgar Cercenas. Do you know him? And of course I said, I have never heard of him. I said, of course, good friend. He's the one that introduced me to your music. And so we went back and forth a few more times, and we got so familiar that I started calling her Heather. Do you remember that email? As I was going through the chain, I go, what? Why did I put hi, Heather? I must have been thinking about something else. But as the date approached, and we put this in, and this is all months ago. Months ago. As the date approached, as we transitioned into the new year, what God put on my heart for me, and I think for our body, is this idea of seeking God's rest, of having full, missional, engaged lives with a spirit of peace. Not check out, go hide, don't do anything kind of rest, but in the midst of this really hard thing of caring for one another and proclaiming the message of the gospel to the world, to have a spirit of rest and a spirit of peace. And we walk through there. We're going to read that passage again today out of Hebrews 4. And as I was putting together, and we kind of put together this plan, well, we'll see who else in the front range might have know you or want to, participate in that. And it was just like dead end, and I think it was all dead ends for them. And it's like, oh, gosh, this seems, I just hated to have this incredible investment of their time and energy to come here just to minister to us. And I go, gosh, I don't know, Lord, is this your plan? I don't want to waste their time. And as we were putting together some promotional stuff, or as I was kind of doing some research, some reviews and different things, this idea flowed out of one of the articles that was written, this music that leads to rest. And I go, oh, well, no wonder it's been so ministering. I guess I'm kind of dense. I just liked it. It had a good effect on me. Didn't understand their intent, but it still didn't come together for them to be broadly in other venues or other churches. And we just kind of, we just kind of walk by faith. Well, Lord will figure it out. It just seems like we're supposed to keep going on this. Seems like this is the plan. I don't know where it's going to go. And then again, this point where there's so many certain coincidences and the timing of different things. Obviously we were in Wisconsin a week ago for my brother-in-law's funeral. And the timing of all that and how he passed and when he passed. And I did that service. And actually, Cindy received that horrible, tragic text from Cherie during the funeral of my brother-in-law. And then we opened it as we were driving away from the service at the graveside. And obviously, this was going to be such a real and all-encompassing tragedy in our midst. I just felt like I needed to let them know what was happening, and we may just need to call it, because we certainly weren't going to miss the opportunity to care for all that the Cercenases were going through. We want to be able to be present. And as I came home, we threw our suitcase in the house and went over to the Cercenases' house, and because I know Edgar thinks like an engineer, he received this question. Okay, buddy, we're all just brokenhearted, and there's this real practical decision we got to make, and we probably need to make it pretty quick. What do you want to do with hedgerow? The hedgerow folk says, I think we should do it. And in the midst of that, actually, I let Amanda know or sent her a note that what had happened, and her response was, and I shared this with Edgar when we were there. I don't know if I can read this. Oh, Pat, we're heartbroken for Edgar and his family and for all of you. I cannot even imagine the pain of that loss. As for us, we will come alongside you guys in any way possible. If you all talk this evening and decide you need space, we understand. Otherwise, we will come and pray and worship and join hands with you in your grief. I showed that to Edgar. I think it ministered to you. By the way, Amanda's a very good crying with you kind of girl. And so we rolled it out, and they came on ahead and sorted out this plan to do the. Please don't miss the timing here. There's a story of God. They could have been here last week. And the primary message of faith for the Sosena's family is somehow God was going to redeem Andrew's death, proclaim the gospel to a whole bunch of his peer sphere of influence. And there was a bunch of them there. And Austin did an amazing job. And I believe their music added a degree of power we just couldn't have done. We just couldn't have, it wouldn't have had the same impact. God couldn't do anything. But here's another one. Here's another on-ramp. Amanda could have got that, or John could have answered, or not that he's not compassionate, or somebody said, you know what, that sounds like something I don't want to step into, and all of us would have completely understood. We would have all completely understood. But they didn't. They stepped into it and came and shared their hearts. And they shared their gifts. We've had an amazing time getting to know him, talking deep theology. Thursday night, we had a little gathering of some pastors, did a little house concert kind of thing, and it was just so incredibly surreal for Cindy and I. Well, they were doing a little practicing earlier, and Cindy was back in the bedroom, and you know these voices that are so familiar to us from listening to it, they're going, oh, wait a minute, that's not on the CD player. That's them. They're in our living room. This is kind of weird. And as we did this little concert Thursday night, Cindy and I weren't sitting together, but I was looking across the room, and we were both just kind of giggling. This is so weird. Now it's less weird, again, because we've seen them in their pajamas, and I'm going to teach them how to weld this afternoon. By the way, John Hook, Tim Carr, Edgar, any of you guys have welding helmets I could borrow this afternoon? That would be awesome. So we don't want them to blind themselves. Well, we're praying for funeral fruit, and in the midst of all of that seeking answers and trying to sort out this amazing tragedy and this horrible thing that it's not going away for most of us in the room. That's not going to be a conscious thought for that family. It's the most painful thing from everything I've ever read. Most painful thing we can go through emotionally is the death of a child. And they've lost two. They've lost two of their children. But for those of you who stepped into that desire to be present, to learn the heart ministry, that's one of my first thoughts. Well, Lord, we'll see who's been paying attention. We'll see who's willing to be present. I'm so proud of Dan and Don. Dan is not a intuitive feeler. But man, has he been present with them and with me personally. is so fun. In the midst of that hardship, to be present with one another. And I got to tell you, I was so grateful. The week before, we walked through the exact same thing with my sister. Spent a week making arrangements, sorting things out. And I stepped back into our world, and I think one or two people stopped by their house the whole time we were there. And you could hardly find a place to stand in the Sersena's household. And laughter and crying and food. By the way, I Tim and Karen, where's Karen? Where'd you guys go? I just saw. Oh, we ate the stuff you took to their house. So we it's not good. This amazing difference as we are the people of God and we're quick to rally to that house of mourning. It's part of the story. It's part of the story for those the gospel is being preached to. As those kids stepped into that house, they didn't see people alone and destitute. They found people who are ready to love and embrace and to give and to serve. What a story. Yet, I don't know where it's going. I don't know what all the fruit's going to be, but there's going to be some, and we're going to know it in time. I think God is doing... I have not had near as much opportunity to hear from Sheree and some of the kids, but from Edgar, there's a deep, deep change, truth, understanding that's being pressed into his heart. And I hope we get to hear some of that in significant ways in the coming weeks and months. Because God is doing a work there. I'm sure he's doing a work. I just have access to that one because he's been writing a lot and sending it to me. Here'd be my call from this. In terms of our engagement with these amazing saints from Alabama, tonight's kind of the end of the story. They're going home soon. And we have an opportunity, and this is what I would ask us for. And if you could please commit to spending at least a few minutes this afternoon before showing up tonight. Pray for that family. Pray for their comfort, for fruit. But then pray for us as a body that the Spirit would do a powerful work in our souls collectively. God can use anybody at any time to do anything. But he's uniquely given us this gift tonight to be expectant. It seems like the story's leading there. At least in part. There's a whole other story of fruit. But for us as a body, there's a story. And I want to step into it. And I'm going to ask you to step into it and spend some time, at least a few minutes, 15 minutes, a half an hour, just being quiet. And here's what I'd love for you to do. You just pull out Hebrews 4. And if we could read through, we never finished the slide. Did you get it up? Did you put the slide together, Hebrews 4? It's up there, isn't it? Thank you. I can't see. All right. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who believed enter that rest. And as he said, then I'm going to skip that section, as I swore, I don't know if 6 is up there. If it's not, you can roll it. We'll jump down to 6. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Will you get on that on-ramp? Will you enter into the story? Will you let him minister to you? And skipping down to 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom he must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. That word should be empathize, by the way. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Reflect on that. Pray through that. I believe God wants to do something. We get to enter that rest. We get to be ministered to. And I pray we would come expectant. We'd come expectant. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the amazing story you have us in. God, I just want to see it all. I'm going to thank you. There is going to be a long time to review all the on-ramps and outcomes when we walk by faith. And there'll be times, Lord, where I know I've missed your will and I've said no when you wanted to draw me into an amazing thing. And I chose either fear or apathy, pride, greed, selfishness. God, let us be a people who trust you as Father to lead us on an amazing adventure. We want to see the fruit. And we want to enter your rest. We want to bear your image to this world, not just as individuals, but as a body, that the world may know we're your disciples. Help us be faithful to you. You are worth being faithful to. In Jesus' name, amen.